Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. I'm here. I made it. Oh, my God.
That's fantastic. How are things with you this week?
Today's been busy. Like, in the pre-show, we were talking about another podcast we were going to start up called the Flooring Enthusiast Podcast.
I was very enthusiastic.
Yeah. We were talking about gunpowder and subflooring. Good thing we got all the exciting stuff out of the way, because we're going to talk about video games.
Exactly. Mm. Except for, I also have a house story for this week, which might be something that you're hearing in the background. I don't know. I really hope you're not going to, but who really knows? Our roof is leaking.
Oh, right.
Still, it kind of started to happen at the end of the Citadel Cafe on Wednesday, and I was like, brought the landlord in, and I was all sneaking around and being all hush-hush, and like, but it's leaking right outside my office door, so there's a bucket, and it's kind of dripping. It hasn't been dripping all day, and then it just started up again, so I don't know if the stuff on the roof is melting or what, but they cut a giant hole in our ceiling that's now covered by a plastic bag.
So it's like they're trying to set up like the whole rainforest, so you hear like dripping in the background. It's like you're in a cave. I've always wanted to live in a cave.
You know what it actually is so much like is freaking Zerg, because there's our ceiling and then like the roof of the building, right? Uh-huh. So there's a hole in the roof of the building somewhere. They can't find it until all the snow melts. So there's also a hole in our ceiling that's covered by a black garbage bag. So whenever there's like wind or a draft going across the hole on the outside, the pressure in between changes and the garbage bag moves, and then it goes and it like rains down water. So it's literally like we're being infested right now.
It is exactly. I've been playing a lot of Zerg, and I gotta admit that if you're hearing sounds like what it sounds like for Zerglings to pop out of, you know, it's just that's disgusting. But I'd be worried, because if a Hydralisk woke me up in the morning, gotta say, I would not be pleased.
Bad news bears, right?
Yeah, bad news bears.
So I've also been playing a lot of swarmy Zergy goodness, because
she's holding up a box of something. What is it? I can't tell. It's Heart of the Swarm, isn't it?
It is Heart of the Swarm.
I convinced Joel. I said, Joel, you guys should get Heart of the Swarm. It's so great. And then
I was really awesome today and went out to the mall and switched my pre-order of Bioshock over to PC from Xbox, and picked up two copies of Heart of the Swarm, so both Joel and I now have Heart of the Swarm. Yay!
Oh, good.
Because I can't beat him if he doesn't have the expansion.
Okay, well, I know you're very competitive, but some of the best games you can have in Heart of the Swarm multiplayer is when you're playing with your friends, not against them. I find I have more fun when I'm playing with my friends against other people.
I know.
But everybody's different. Everybody's different.
That does mean that I finished the Wings of Liberty campaign, and I am now probably, well, I think I just started this afternoon. I played for about 2 hours, so I'm only just started into Heart of the Swarm. But, dude, I think we should go into, like, full-on spoiler mode, but only up until where I've played.
Wait. Okay, full-on spoiler mode for what? Wings of Liberty?
Yes.
Of course. But, like, are you talking Heart of the Swarm as well?
Just the parts that I have seen. So I'm going to tell you what I have done, and then you are not going to spoil anything else.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about Wings of Liberty first. So you had the last couple missions to go, I think just the invasion on the Earth planet, was it?
Did. Okay. I had one or two. I had an invasion against the Terran, because I had to play the broadcast and bring down Manxk. Yeah,
it's... You gotta say it like Kerrigan.
Normally I can say Manxk. It, but...
That doesn't sound like Kerrigan. You gotta sound angry when you say it.
Manxk.
I can't
do it. That was kind of it.
Manxk. No, that's not... That's more anime than angry.
Yeah. Anyways, not the point. Yeah. Had to bring him down, and then I had the invasions of Char, which I think was like 3 or 4 missions.
Oh, right,
and then...
those are the last missions, yeah.
Yeah, so the last missions take place on Char, and once you go to Char, you can't go anywhere else, so... I had wrapped up all of my side quests. I actually finished all the side missions naturally before I hit the Char mission. It was just like totally random that I was like, you know what? I want to confront Kerrigan last, so I'm going to, you know, play everything else. So it was good. It was fun. What I really like so much about StarCraft is the multiplayer is really repetitive, because, you know, you get these pro players. They're really, really good. They get these builds down to the second, and they're just like, you know, like SSSSSSS or DDDDDDD for drones or SCVs or whatever. And it's just like, it's constant, like, and they're really, really good. And it's down to the millisecond of timing, right? Mm. So every match, almost, like, I know every match is not the same, but you get to know builds, you get to know how people's play style and stuff, and it can get a little bit repetitive. But the campaign, every single mission is different. You know, like, sometimes you're playing one race, sometimes you're playing another, you know, you always have a different enemy, sometimes it's hold the base, sometimes it's go destroy everybody, sometimes it's, like, go and get something and bring it back to the base. Like, it just seems like everything is always, it was always different. And I thought that they would give me a type of a mission, and then they would make me somehow repeat it over and over and over again, right? But it never seemed to get that way. Like, I thought they would give me one easy mission of a certain type, and then they'd just make it progressively harder with harder bad guys or whatever. But that didn't feel like it was what they did at all. Like, I so enjoyed the campaign.
They did a good job. And I mean, so the StarCraft II characters, we talked about this last week a little bit, and I never really played a lot of StarCraft, but I was still emotionally invested in the characters in StarCraft II, and they really get you attached to Raynor and also Tychus for a, you know, a certain amount. But
yeah,
how did you feel about the ending? Like, with did it make you feel happy?
I kind of, like, I mean,
you were kind of spoiled by Heart of the Swarm sort of being advertised. I mean, imagine, like, Heart of the Swarm is nowhere to be seen. There's no sort of hints as to what's happening with anything after Wings of Liberty. So it's a little easier, a little harder for you to be kind of like happy about the end of Wings of Liberty.
It did make me really, it gave me lots of warm and fuzzy feelings. I was very happy with the end of Wings of Liberty. I never really, you know that something is up with Tychus the whole way through, but for some reason no one ever comes right out and asks him. You know, you have that point where Matt comes up to you and he's like, so we scanned him on his way back into the ship, and we know that, you know, his suit is wired for remote, not remote detonation, but basically, like, they can shut down his suit from anywhere in the galaxy and kill him.
Right, remote termination or something.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, so, you know, he's got a gun to his head, but you're not going to ask him about that gun? Like, that would be my first thing. I'd be like, beeline, pew, right to him, and be like, dude, what the F?
Why are you rigged to explode?
Who is going to explode you?
Yeah, that would be the proper question. And I mean, you're good friends, right? Like, I think if I was good friends with someone, it would kind of be, like, awkward to say, like, you know, I know we're good buddies and I trust you and everything, but why are you rigged to kind of die?
Well, and the other thing that I found really odd about Tychus is that I think I did the missions kind of out of their intended order or something, because I felt like there was a really long amount of time where things with him were fine. Everything was good. You know, there was no kind of dissension in the ranks or anything. There was a couple of episodes of Raynor getting a little bit too drunk and everyone being like, oh, come back, Captain, be better. And, you know, but it just seemed like the whole bar, you know, remember the bar fight scene where he, like, rips down the jukebox and throws it at Raynor and stuff? Do you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah. Again, it's been a while, but
yeah, so they have this big, huge, like, all-out fight of the two of them, just, like, going at it, and Raynor ends up kicking his ass, but, you know, it's kind of a close fight, and you're just like, these two are literally, like, you know, Raynor's not going to kill Tychus, but Tychus wanted to kill Raynor. And you're just like, I don't understand where this came from, you know? So I didn't really, like, the whole Tychus thing, I never got attached to him because I was just like, there's something going on that is not cool. And I don't know what it is. And the game isn't letting me ask. Yeah. So with all the other conversations that you can have with people, like, clearly this is going to be something huge at the end. And then it was. And I was kind of like, I don't know, hoping it wouldn't go the way that it did, but, I mean, like, in the end, obviously, that's the way that it has to go, because
you mean in terms of, like, Raynor basically curing Kerrigan? Or are you talking about Tychus dying?
Tychus dying.
And we did state that, you know, this is a three-year-old game, but yeah, I was kind of bummed when that happened, but then again, like, the whole payoff of the guy, it's kind of cliche, but the damsel in distress is saved and the guy walks off with her in her arms into the sunset. I know that sounds really
cliche for a reason. It's a cliche because it's awesome.
Well, that's good. I mean, I agree. I think I was like, yeah, really excited about it. I was like, I just want more. Yeah. And then I had to wait 3 years.
The thing is, like, I didn't feel the, I guess, kind of stress or anxiety at the end there. Like, there was no suspense because, obviously, with Heart of the Swarm coming out, I know Kerrigan lives, right? So, in the end, when Rainer's like, well, there's Tychus, and there's him, and there's Kerrigan, I know who lives out of this situation. So, it wasn't really, there was no, I didn't feel the moment. Mm. So, I don't know. Like, it's, but like I said, I still loved it.
Yeah,
loved it.
It's
like,
some it of Blizzard's so best work, I think.
Yeah,
in my mind, all their StarCraft II stuff, I think, ranks as the best stuff I've played from Blizzard. All the World of Warcraft stuff is like a weird second. I mean, it's really great, but it's not really like the single player polished campaign stuff that StarCraft II is.
Mm-hmm.
And Diablo III, I was never attached to Diablo, so it's sort of off in its own sort of. It's cool, but it's a third. But in three great series, right, it's kind of hard to kind of rank them. But no, StarCraft probably at the top for me.
Definitely the best storytelling. The cinematics are fantastic. Like, it just, it really draws you in and you really feel for the characters. And I mean, like, Kerrigan, oh my God. I love her. Like, she is such a good character. Like, she's got so much dimension. She's like this... she's good and evil all smooshed into one. And it's just like, you can't, because you know how good she was or could be, you can never hate her. Yeah. But because she's so evil, you can never really love her. So she's just like, she's this like,
well, she's a tragic anti-hero.
Yeah. Right? Like, she's perfect. Well, and I haven't finished the campaign, so I don't know what happens to her, but.
Well, I'm not going to spoil it. I was just saying, like.
Right now.
In Brood War, like, the expansion to the first one, you sort of get, I believe it's a Brood War where you, it's the first StarCraft, where you sort of get the idea as to how Kerrigan turns, and I think that's a key part that you might be missing, in the sense that she was betrayed. You know she was betrayed, but
yes. This
awful stuff she had to go through, like, she was forced into this sort of Queen of Blades role against her will, and just fueled by the hatred of Manx, even in this Queen of the Blades state where she's being sort of manipulated by the Zerg or the Swarm, mm-hmm. or whatever. The Overmind, I guess you find out in StarCraft II. They call it the Overmind, is it?
The Overmind, yeah. But which, it was kind of, it's really interesting the way that they took the story in StarCraft II and saying that, like, you know, she would be the only thing that could save the universe from these hybrids, and which the hybrid thing, so cool.
Mm.
Like, really, really cool. And I think you still don't know who is, like, kind of controlling the hybrids. Like, you don't know who is behind all of that.
How far are you, I guess, so I know where to stop?
In Heart of the Swarm? Okay, so...
So we should probably say to the chat room, like, this is Heart of the Swarm, spoiler.
Heart of the Swarm spoilers starting now.
Just a little.
I am the first two missions in on...
How far, then?
You have a choice. After everything happens with the Dominion and everything else right at the beginning on that research facility,
sure.
Then you have a choice to go to either Char or... another planet that starts with a K that I can't remember now. And I went to the planet that starts with a K, and it's like an ice planet.
Oh, okay.
So I did both those because I wanted roaches and hydrolisks. So I did both of those missions. So yes, I've seen everything that happens on the research station. Dude, it's got to be propaganda, right? Like, it has to be. Like, why on earth would they interrogate him and then shoot him through his mask? It doesn't make sense. He's not actually dead.
Who are you talking about?
Rainer. Who else am I talking about? The whole reason that she goes back and goes all evil and goes after the to get her Zerg powers back is because she thinks Manx killed Rainer. But no, he can't be dead, Ryan. He can't be dead.
I can't say anything because that would probably spoil it, wouldn't it?
It totally would. But I'm just saying that this is, as of right now, where I am in the campaign, which is very close to the beginning...
I'll say I agree with you. that when I was at that point in the game, I agree with you.
I couldn't decide when she was sitting in her ship at the rendezvous point, and she, you know, that you knew there was something coming up behind her, and she's sitting there on the radio trying to find him and saying she needs him. I'm like, okay, it's either going to be a crazy big Zerg thing or it's going to be him. One of the two. I really, really hope it's him. I really, really hope it's him. And then it wasn't. It was the crazy big Zerg thing. And I was just like, and then the news broadcast comes on, and I was just like, I was literally sitting, like, I pushed my chair back from the computer, and I was like, wait, no.
Fuck like, it, I'm out.
Nope. Talk about moments of rage quitting.
Well, like, it's the same thing with the first one. It's playing on that love, you know, that love story, yes. Right? Where, and it's, and Blizzard knows they got you right by the heart, and they're just like,
like, he was all like, oh, darling, don't you worry, it's going to be okay. And she's all, but they're testing me like a lab rat. There can be no us. And he's like, I'm getting you out of here. Don't worry, I'm going to get you out of here. And then they fight their way out, and then she gives him a kiss, and you're like, oh, yay. And then Rainer's dead.
I think at that point I was like, they need to make a StarCraft movie. Fuck Warcraft. They need to make a StarCraft movie. Because it feels like a StarCraft movie could be done not better, but easier, if that makes sense. Because it's more based in reality? Does that make sense? Like, nobody has magic. Nobody can shoot. Well, okay, they can do telekinesis, but that's sort of like more based in reality than shooting fireballs and lightning bolts. Does that make sense?
She shoots lightning bolts.
Okay, talking cows. All right? There's no such way there could be talking cows on the same planet as humans. Aliens make sense. It explains the whole thing. It's more realistic.
Anyway.
Yeah. So you need to play more and probably beat it so we can have a spoiler cast.
Because, our spoiler cast will not actually be next week, because next week is going to be our PAX East coverage. We haven't forgotten that is happening right now, but
Lou is there right now.
He's actually there, who is, he's our staff writer. He writes our awesome penny-pinching articles over on thegamersinpodcast.com, and he's there. So he's going to come on the show next week and talk to us all about PAX. Mm-hmm. What else are you playing, Ryan? Other than, unless you want to talk about what you're playing, are you doing any multiplayer stuff in Heart of the Swarm yet? Or
after finishing the campaign, I'm sort of like a guy who, when I play a game with a heavy multiplayer segment, I ignore that and I go straight for the multiplayer or straight for the campaign, because it's funny. As soon as I finished the campaign and jumped into the multiplayer to start playing with it, someone in chat on the team is like, oh my god, did you guys, I just finished the campaign. Did you love it when bleh happened? And I'm like, what? I just finished it. Don't ever do that again. It's mean. Happens every time I play, like, it happened to me in Mass Effect 3 too, where I was playing, I was just testing out the multiplayer and on Xbox Live, and I was running on the treadmill, and on Xbox Live, the guy comes on, it's like, man, I just finished the mission on Earth, and this happens. And I'm, like, tearing my headset off and trying not to fall off the treadmill. So that's why I focus on the campaign first. But
man, jeez.
Luckily, didn't happen to me this time. I was playing multiplayer. I've primarily been playing 2v2 with some friends. I played a bit with Bob, the FXL dude, and I suck. I'll admit that now. Bob's a hell of a lot better than I am.
And
I've been playing Zerg. I have a tendency to sort of play the race that I've been focusing on in the campaign. So when Wings of Liberty came out, I got really good with Terran. And then with this one, I'm focusing on Zerg. And eventually, I'll experiment with all the races until I'm confident with going random, just to make it more fun.
I really enjoy Terran. I've liked playing that all the way through Wings of Liberty. Now that I've started playing Zerg, obviously, because that's what you play in the Heart of the Swarm campaign. I don't like playing Zerg. It's just not really, I can't remember to make units that fast. You know, like I keep forgetting to go back and make things, and I know I can hotkey stuff and, you know, all of that, and I know it's doable, but I feel like they're so expendable. Zerg are so squishy. So I don't know. It's, I mean, I'm, I definitely enjoy Terran. I think I enjoyed Protoss the most, which is what I really want to get into. But, I mean, Protoss is so difficult, right? Because you only have those couple of, whatchamacallits.
Air units?
I don't know. No. missions. You only have a couple of missions available to you in the Wings of Liberty campaign. So you don't get a whole lot of chance to practice with Protoss. Although, right, with the new multiplayer mode, they do have the whole awesome practice type play against the computer, play unranked, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to mess around with some Protoss. I have a friend that I think I might do some 2v2 with, and he's going to be Terran, and I'm going to be Protoss, and we're going to take the world by storm.
Are you talking about Joel?
No, actually, no, Terpster.
I was going to say, well, now Joel's all jealous. Because he plays Terran, doesn't he? I don't know what he plays.
Actually, yeah, that's true. But yeah, Joel and I, obviously, we play 2v2 as well. But I think, see, Terpster's going to be my throwaway team. I'm just going to be Protoss, and it doesn't even matter. And then I'll do my Terran.
Is he good, then? Is that what you're saying? He's really good? He's really good at the game? Oh, you don't know. Well, I would think if you're practicing, you would want a really good person on your team to kind of... That's what I did. As I was learning Zerg, I had a really good teammate that would counterbalance my lack of units. Because you hit it right on the head there, that the Zerg, you either forget to make a bunch of units or you forget to make all your workers. Because as you're building buildings, you're losing workers, right? So in the start of the game, you may have like 20 workers, but then by the end of the game, if you forget to replace those workers, you got like 5 on your gold mine. You're wondering why you're constantly hitting 0 minerals.
Yeah.
So it's a
never ever a problem I ever have.
Oh, in multiplayer, it will be, because your opponents really love to take out your expansions. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the first thing they'll do is they'll go after your expansions and try to split your army up. And I'm by no means an expert StarCraft player. I've just been killed a lot. So I know.
You're an expert in dying in StarCraft?
Yeah, I'm an expert in losing. So if you want to know what's going
to
happen.
What everyone's doing to kick your ass, then. Yeah.
I don't know why I can't get better if I'm so good at losing, right?
You would think that you'd have it down to a science and you would know exactly what everyone was going to throw at you, because it's happened so many times.
Oh, but I've lost a couple matches where it's just frustrating because I don't know if you've ever been cheesed before in a multiplayer game. Yes. Okay,
you know what I'm talking about. That happened to Joel and I in our first 2v2 ranking game.
Okay.
And it was someone with Protoss. It was a Protoss and Terran team.
Yeah.
And they just, like, went straight for siege tanks, put siege tanks right at the bottom of our ramp, and then had a pylon and were just, like, warping in random crap, and then built a base right on where our natural would be. And I was just like, oh my god, like, this isn't even... I mean, technically, I know if you can do it, then it counts as a strategy, but
yeah.
Oh my god. That is not a longevity strategy. Like, if we had wiped it out, then that would have been it for them. The game would have been 5 minutes, you know? We ended up winning, and it ended up going, like, literally an hour and a half, which a multiplayer match in StarCraft II should never go that long.
No. Like, 20 minutes is usually a good around time. But, like, that's a good point. Like, cheesing is sort of, like, a risky move where if it doesn't work, you're usually crippled because you put so much time and energy into, like, a specific tier. Like, with Protoss, one of the worst is... they'll sneak a guy, because usually when you scout, you send a worker, and the worker comes in, and it doesn't really bother me.
I do that.
Well, yeah, I don't scout, but
I don't scout at all. My
team, that's what my better teammates for. It's like, you send a drone. I'm trying to focus here, guys. Get my macro on. I usually see a worker come through, and I'm not too worried about it because I got just scouting. I only made like 3 drones, so it's not like they're looking for anything good. So then later on, it's like, why are my Zerglings exploding? Well, it's because they've built like 3 Protoss towers in the corner of my base. And that happens.
You don't even scout your whole base?
Well, I mean, I just figure like the ramp's been taken over by my Terran buddy. I don't have to worry about it. That's the other thing with Zerg is that you can't bunker. You kind of have to build outwards, right?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm finding so difficult and frustrating with playing Zerg is that... I find that, like, hunkering down and defending comes very naturally to me. I have a really hard time going out and trying to clear out stuff because, like, every single unit that, even if I know for some reason that my other dude has like two bases and SEVs and that's all he's got left, and I'm just, you know, pounding away with my siege tanks, I still, like, every single unit I kill, every single base that I explode, I'm like, oh my god, he's totally gonna kill me. He's gonna kill me. Oh my god, I'm totally gonna die. Why am I even doing this? I should be back at my base.
See, that's why
I was waiting for that. Your base is under attack. Your base is under attack. And then I'm just like, no.
See, that's the great thing about...
And then I'm all the way on the other side of the map.
Yeah, and this is the great thing about Blizzard's other RTS title they put out, Warcraft 3. Whereas if you were out, like, building expansion or, like, killing creeps and stuff, they have what's called a town portal. So if someone was attacking your base and you hear that message, you just hit this town portal button, your entire army around your hero teleports back to your base. And it's one of the most satisfying things ever, just, like, warping out of nowhere and killing everybody. And I'm pretty sure they don't have that in StarCraft 2 because... A, it would make more sense, but they...
I feel like the Protoss, there's that mass recall thing.
Oh.
And I think that that calls all your units back to your mothership, I think.
Oh. Well, I haven't seen
a lot
of mothership.
So if you leave your mothership at your base, then you can shoop all your people back.
It's not very often. I have not seen many motherships in-game.
Well, they take so much time and so many resources and stuff. And
I think I saw one. And it was big, and it killed all the dudes. And it made me invisible.
Yeah, it's the same as the Terran battlecruiser or whatever.
Mm.
Same thing. You know, they take so long, you have to build pretty much all the other buildings, and you have to have tons and tons of resources, and they just never really... Multiplayer games don't seem to last that long to get that kind of tech.
I guess
if you went straight for it, then I guess you could get it, but...
Yeah, well, they shouldn't last that long, because if they're lasting that long, then one of you're not doing your job. Because, like, I think most of the games that I've lost usually happen when, you know, you just didn't attack soon enough. And if they get to the point where they have these giant ships, there was a point when, if you were scouting, you could have hit them, made them weak, and then probably killed them, because they didn't have enough units, because they were teching up to... I mean, StarCraft's sort of been on my mind. Like, I've been having nightmares that I don't have enough drones. Like, in my sleep, I'm getting the message, like, you do not have enough drones. I'm like, shut up. I need Vespian gas. Oh.
That mineral field has been exhausted.
It's just, I'm glad I'm playing... Well, actually, I'm playing the most terrifying race, Zerg, so maybe that's why they're nightmares and not polite dreams where the Protoss are being, like, very nice about it, you know?
Oh yeah, I really like the Zerg, the kind of, like, what do you call her? She's the same as the Terran AI, with the face that kind of comes off and squirrels all around and stuff, and
the worm thing.
The worm thing that comes
I don't know any of their names, because they're like Kraza and Qualza and Kranza.
Yeah, they
and
all have really, really weird names.
They're not easy to pronounce. Like, I don't know, Matt. Or Rainer. Jim, thank you. Hi, I'm Jim. I'm Todd. I'm Bob. I'm Robert. Oh, okay, cool.
The most exotic was, like, Tosh.
Kerrigan's up there. Yeah, Tosh. Ghost. See, it's easy. Nova. Oh, wait, go. Yeah, Nova.
And then there's Minsk.
Minsk.
I'm really having trouble with tonight.
It sounds Russian to me.
Yeah, I think it's probably supposed to.
Yeah, because Russians are evil, right? That's how that works. Well, at one point.
At one point, yeah.
You know, when StarCraft 1 came out back in the Cold War. Jeez, Blizzard. Come on. So when are we getting Legacy of the Void or whatever? Like,
I don't know.
That's the first thing I asked when I... And, you know, I'm not going back into spoilers. I'm just saying that's the first thing I said to myself when I beat Heart of the Swarm. It's just like, can we realistically get Legacy of the Void, like, in the next... year and a half, not like 3 years is too long. I feel like two might be the sweet spot.
I don't really know what is coming next for Blizzard. Like, I know that later on in the show that we're going to talk about their announcement today, but that title is very, very small. It's a small team. It's a small title. It looks cool, but it's small in scope, and they even say that in the opening video that introduces the game. So, I mean, we've got Diablo 3. Is next, I guess, maybe?
Maybe they'll swap it out where they do a Diablo 3 expansion than a StarCraft expansion.
Well, that's what I'm saying, yeah. Is it, like, as far as I know, there's no WoW expansion on the way, and there's no, like, we have no date on the next StarCraft expansion. There's, you know, like, I don't know what Blizzard's doing. Well, I probably have to wait for BlizzCon to actually find that out. But
yeah, I think if we're getting this card game at PAX, then we're going to see a WoW expansion and a Diablo expansion at BlizzCon. Possibly both, or just Warcraft is a safe bet because they have been stating time and time again that they want to make them come out faster.
Yeah.
And they have been doing that. I mean, it's not like once a year like they've been saying, but it's pretty much on par with, you know, once every other year. And they sort of like announce in cycles, so I was kind of looking back at when they announced Heart of the Swarm and when they announced and then when it came out, and the difference was like 2 years, a year and a half. So we probably won't hear about Legacy of the Void this BlizzCon, but next BlizzCon, or possibly sometime next year.
I would say probably 2014 BlizzCon.
Yeah,
I would expect
a safe bet
to hear about it, and I also think it'll come out faster because I don't think it's going to take as long as Heart of the Swarm.
Yeah, I mean, I think they talked about this on StarCast as to, and I know a couple people have mentioned that the reason it's taken so long is that StarCraft II became this esport hit, and you know they didn't want to screw it up by releasing a campaign or an expansion. I'm sure the campaign for this one was done.
Oh yeah,
a year or two ago, or possibly just over a year ago. So it's just about balancing.
It's all about balancing the multiplayer, and I think that now they know how successful StarCraft has been and how much money is tied into it through esports, and I think that they will work that into their next development cycle, and it won't take as long. They're not going to build the next StarCraft expansion thinking it's just this teeny tiny little game that, you know, it's not that big a deal. With the whole esport thing, they're going into it knowing what they're getting into, and I think that's going to make it come out a whole lot faster.
This is probably the wrong person to ask, or the wrong audience, but like us being both campaign heavy StarCraft players, like we probably wouldn't be upset if they just released Legacy of the Void as a campaign expansion and just ignored the multiplayer, you know.
I would be happy with that.
Yeah, if it meant coming out sooner.
Yeah, if it came out sooner, I would think that having the campaign come out and then having the maybe multiplayer come out the following year or something, you know, because again, like, you don't want to mess with the balance or the seasons or any of that kind of stuff with the whole esport thing. So if you just separated out the campaign from the multiplayer, then it gives more people more time. Or, I mean, the flip side of that is you could just get it out as fast as possible, really screw with multiplayer for the next 2 years, but then nothing is going to change again, you know? So get all the changes out as fast as possible to make it mesh with the campaign, and then just be like, okay, as of 2015, StarCraft II is not going to change. So if you want to use it for esports, have at her.
Although it's nice that they can get people to buy a $40 game every 3 years or so. Although, I don't know. I feel like Blizzard will release a full product and not split it up, but it's nice to think that maybe we could get it, you know, a year or a year and a half earlier.
Yeah. You know?
Especially
I don't think it's going to take as long as it did last time, but
I hope so.
Only Blizzard truly knows, and I'm sure that they will give us an idea in October or November. When is it this year?
November,
right. Mm-hmm. So have you been playing anything else this week?
Yeah, I wanted to get this off my list because it's
say off my chest. Jocelyn, I really have to talk about this.
I need to stop thinking about this game because I keep reminding myself, like, I should tell people about this. But I want to say that Mass Effect 3 Citadel came out at the start of the month, and it is by far the best Mass Effect DLC to ever come out.
In terms of everything, right?
That is all the everything that's going to come out for Mass Effect for the foreseeable future. Yes, and the final Shepard DLC. Possibly. They keep saying that it's like, this is the final Shepard. You ask me again, you're blocked. I call your mom, and then I also torture house. Like, they are serious.
No more Shep.
No more Shepard. He is gone. So, but yes, so if you're attached to your characters, and not just Shepard, this Citadel DLC is huge and focuses on giving you one final memorable conflict for you and your team to solve, but also gives you, the whole second half of the DLC gives you a chance to just literally, like they say in the, they say, catch up with your characters. You literally get to catch up with your characters. You have a moment with each person that was on or is on your squad, so, unless they're dead. But yeah.
I was going to say, does this take place after Earth?
No. This is
before.
Yes, this is pre-Cerberus. So if you beat the game, it creates that save. Again, BioWare has stated that no DLC, no post-game DLC, and this is in line with their strategy, and it you can do this before you start the Cerberus mission. Right. So if you did beat the game, there is that save that's present. So it really doesn't touch on the whole Reaper conflict, and you kind of have to put it out of your mind that what you're doing seems that this is probably the only thing you're going to hate about it, is that what you're doing in this DLC is in direct conflict with what you should be doing. You know, it's weird. And but if you, once you get that out of your head, you just start having fun, and there's like cool corny moments that are definitely corny, but it's like, I've spent 10 years with these guys, I'm sure I can ignore the weirdness of this and kind of just enjoy the moment. Like, there's just this weird like camaraderie going on between your characters and stuff, and you should
and
play
you should
it.
Be out saving the universe. I would have hated that if they put that in the main original game. I wouldn't have done it.
Well, and again, that's why it works so well as DLC, because it's really just this sort of big, you know, just picture the entire dev team that worked on all three Mass Effects just standing on a building, and you're in a helicopter, and you go over top, and you just see them all waving at you, waving goodbye, you know, because they're all moving on to the next project. No, that did not happen.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Maybe as you were flying away from the Citadel, there was just all these random people waving or something. I was just like, yeah, that's weird. Okay,
well, like
yeah,
I said, there is some corn in there. There's some corn. You're going to have to eat around the corn.
I thought you said porn.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there are romantic scenes, but there's no, like, there's no porn. Scenes. There's no porn.
I just air quoted you.
Romantic scenes. I don't know,
you're blushing.
It's hot in here, just screw you. Now I am probably actually, because I'm thinking about it. No, there's none of that, but there is just these cool character moments, and you will get a chance to sort of have like another date with your romantic person, and it's just really great. And the boss is memorable, the enemy is fantastic. Don't let anybody spoil it for you, because okay. It totally just is like this awesome. It's
experience.
This awesome moment experience, and you don't see it coming, and it's great, and you'll never guess unless someone tells you. And don't let anyone tell you. Just play it. It's like, I think it's $20, $15.
Yeah, it's $15 or $20. Yeah,
it's expensive.
How
but
many
it's
hours
big.
of gameplay is it for that kind of money?
8 hours, I'd say.
That's not bad.
The first chunk of the campaign was about 4, and then the second half, which is more relaxed, it's not really like, if you did everything like I did, you'll get another 4 hours out of it. If you just sort of do the bare minimum, you know, don't go for the extra achievements and stuff, it'll probably just be another 2 hours. But it's still a memorable sort of chunk of DLC, and yeah. Definitely worth it. And don't let it be spoiled for you. So
yes, sir.
Get on it. Because it's great, and we talked about this on the show. We should have sort of a, you know, like a bookend, because this podcast really focused a lot on Mass Effect 3 this time last year. So
true. Yeah,
it'd be nice to not talk about Mass Effect ever again until Mass Effect 4 starts coming out.
Very true. Yeah, like 2 years from now.
Yeah, it's closer than you think.
Yeah, really. So, just before we head into quick news, obviously, it is time for our Doghouse plug. Woo-hoo! So, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. Use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. 4 becomes 8, 8 becomes 16, and 16 does not become 32. That would be ridiculous. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Which brings us to quickfire news. Pew, pew, pew.
Free Play Kickstarter has launched, Andrew Allen is well known among the Frog Pants community for his Star Trek jazz album, Smooth Federation. Well, he's back this year with a video game themed album called Free Play. Check out the Kickstarter for a chance to get your hands on the album and other cool rewards, including video game postcards illustrated by Brian Dunaway, and they look fantastic.
Very cool. Mm. The CEO of EA has stepped down. John Riccitiello, CEO of EA from 2007 to present, he was also CEO for a stint in the late 90s and early 2000s, he has stepped down. Larry Probst will fill his shoes while the board searches for a replacement. The reason for Riccitiello's resignation centers on EA's financial performance this past year. The cause of EA's financial problems is likely the poor performance of the now free-to-play Star Wars The Old Republic. The poor performance comes in spite of being the most expensive game ever made, with production costs in the hundreds of millions.
Firaxis launches iOS game. The creators behind the Civilization series and XCOM reboot are dipping their toes into the iOS waters with a brand new free-to-play strategy game. It's called Haunted Hollow and is available now in the Canadian iTunes Store. Sorry, non-Canucks, the title will launch worldwide later this spring. The game involves building up a mansion full of monsters trying to scare townspeople and slowly taking over the town you're in.
DuckTales is back! I love PAX. So many cool game announcements, including this one that came today from Capcom. They are reviving the NES platformer to create DuckTales Remastered, a remake of the 1989 title. Not gonna lie, the theme song got me humming. Look for it on Xbox Live, PSN, and Wii U this summer.
I'm surprised you held back and didn't say DuckTales is
DuckTales.
Back. DuckTales! And then, there you go. Steam opens early access program. Paying for game betas is all the rage these days. This isn't necessarily a bad practice when done correctly. Just look at Don't Starve or Arma 3. It seems Steam agrees with me as they've launched an early access program on their store featuring games that aren't quite complete, but still quite playable. Looking forward to an upcoming indie computer game, be sure to check the early access program on Steam, and you may be paying and playing sooner than you think.
EA reveals your free game. It's one that nobody wants. Sorry. That was a little snarky.
None that you want.
It's true. EA has revealed the titles it's offering for free to apologize for the SimCity launch debacle. The portal to select a free game should be live as of today. All players who register their copy of SimCity by Monday, March 25th are eligible for the free game offer, but the game must be claimed by March 30th. So you have a whole 5 days. 1 week, people. Get on it. You have the choice of one of the following eight titles. Battlefield 3, Bejeweled 3, Dead Space 3, Mass Effect 3, Medal of Honor Warfighter, Need for Speed Most Wanted, Plants vs. Zombies, and SimCity 4, the Deluxe Edition, which would be 10 years old.
Also the better SimCity.
Well, there's that too. No word on whether the SimCity issues will actually be fixed by the end of the month, but those other Origin titles should tide you over, unless, of course, you already own them all.
So, which one did you pick?
I haven't picked one yet, because I'm very angry still.
You should pick... I picked Need for Speed, because all the other ones I sort of have on other platforms.
That's what I'm saying. All these titles
we went over
are
this.
Old.
You don't like racing games. Sorry. We did talk about that, didn't we?
Yeah. No, but it's fine. I mean, if... probably Dead Space 3. I'm not really interested in it, but I mean, like, offering Plants vs. Zombies? Are you kidding me?
Well, compared to Dead Space 3, if you were going bang for buck, Dead Space 3 and then pick up Dead Space 1 and 2 on a Steam sale for next to nothing.
Yeah.
That's probably your best bet. But, no, well, enough of that. New next Xbox requiring installation of games? Question mark. For current-gen Microsoft and Sony consoles, it's a convenience to be able to download or install full games to your hard drive. But what if I said Microsoft would require you to install your games to the hard drive as a form of anti-piracy slash anti-secondhand games? In a recent leak that includes documentation from a Durango dev kit, it was revealed that every Durango console will have a hard drive, although its exact capacity has not been chosen. It will be large enough, however, to hold a large number of games. Great. All games will be installed on the hard drive. Play from the optical disc will not be supported. Every day, there is a new piece of information that strongly suggests Microsoft is going after the used game market. One can hope, if they really are, that they do this while not aggravating consumers, at least not too much.
Team Fortress 2 is getting experimental virtual reality support. Valve announced today that they're adding an experimental virtual reality mode to Team Fortress 2. It will be playable by anyone with an Oculus Rift developer kit and will be released in the coming days. All game modes and classes will be supported by the virtual reality mode. In addition to all the awesome that is the Oculus Rift virtual reality mode, you also get a unique in-game Oculus Rift hat. So there's that.
Of course you do.
Of course you do. What else would you get in Team Fortress 2?
Valve should just stop making games and just keep making hats. If they made real hats, they'd be millionaires. Think about it.
I think they already are.
Real hats?
No, millionaires.
Oh, okay. Sorry, billionaires.
Nice.
We should go to the Valve store and actually confirm. Maybe they actually are making real hats.
Probably. There's the internet. I'm sure that you can get Team Fortress 2 hats on the internet somewhere.
Oh, okay. Valve, you can have this one. Think a Figureprints type service where you make a hat for Team Fortress 2, and then you can actually buy that actual hat from Valve. Think about it.
Gold, right?
$1 billion idea.
Gold.
Wait, there are already billionaires? $1 trillion idea.
Whatever, however many, add 3 more zeros to what you're currently making.
Sure, just go nuts.
That's what kind of an idea this is.
You'll make more money than you're currently making.
Which brings us to our topic of the week, which is the Blizzard announcement this morning. We're getting a new Blizzard game. It's going to be freemium, which I don't really know how I feel about.
Ah, they'll do it right.
I hope so. So basically, the devs over at Blizzard grew up on Magic, like Ryan and I did, and really, really enjoyed the whole playing card game thing. So they've now made their own, and it is actually very similar to Duels of the Planeswalkers. It's basically just, it's a computer game, it's a simulation of a card game. Mm-hmm. So you can download, I guess, like a starter game, starter packs, and the more you play, you can earn more packs, and the packs are sets of 5 cards. Or, for around $1, which to me says 99 cents, you can purchase packs of 5 more cards. And it's the same sort of luck of the draw as if in a real life, you know, hard card game. Hard card game? What am I thinking? Real life tangible cards as opposed to virtual cards. Same thing. You buy a booster pack and it's just totally luck of the draw. So same thing will apply to the Blizzard game. And yeah, it's called Hearthstone. And it actually looks really cool. It's a really small dev team. They said it's small in scope, but they wanted to keep Blizzard's quality of product, like, the same, but, you know, just a smaller scope of the game. And it looks pretty cool. I like it. What do you think, Ryan? Are you excited about this?
I've always been a fan of card-based games, and I've just never been able to get into the video game card-based games.
I really, really struggled with playing Magic. We were talking about it, I guess, probably about 4 or 5 shows ago now, and I tried Duels of the Planeswalkers, and I loved Magic growing up, but for some reason, like, I think just the animations were too quick, or the, you know, something about it, it just, like, I got confused really quickly, which never happened when I had the actual paper cards right in front of me. So, I don't know, the Blizzard game looked not easy. I don't want to say easy or simple because it didn't. It still had, like, they say that their deck is gonna have, like, or their library, sorry, is gonna have over 300 cards, all different characters you can play. They've incorporated it. It's based on Warcraft, so it's called Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft. So it's based on the Warcraft universe. You have all of your races and classes. So, you know, you can play like a hunter or a rogue or, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it kind of brings that extra little bit, you know, I guess you had specializations in Magic as well, but it was more like you'd have like a forest deck and a swamp deck and, you know, so a similar idea, but based around Warcraft. I think they're going to do it well. It's pretty much the same model as Magic, the computer-based card game. Because Magic, you can buy their booster packs for, I think they're like $250 or something. But you get way more than 5 cards. But
right.
similar idea. I think the base game cost you $10 or $15, and I mean, God, I think I got the base game on the Steam sale for $1.50. So
yeah, I think the best part about this announcement is that we know it's Blizzard. We know it'll be a competent sort of free to play game that will capture our attention, and people are, even the dev team is saying, I know it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Conflicting to hear the dev team say, oh, we're playing it, it's amazing, we're playing it all the time, you know, but we know it'll probably be great because it's Blizzard, and I know they just have a great track record, and it spells great future for what Blizzard could be doing on future iOS titles and future sort of these small projects. And I mean, even in this article we have linked in the notes here, the dev team says, you know, it's coming out not Blizzard soon, but in real life soon.
Which made me laugh.
Yeah, so I mean, like, that's also comforting because it also means Blizzard is maybe saying, well, you know, it's nice to have 6 years to develop StarCraft II, but maybe we could give our fans more smaller bits of content with these smaller projects. And a lot of
You know what smaller project would be amazing?
What's that?
Battle Pets on the Go. Come on, Blizzard.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, we need to make this project successful in order for them to say, it's like, there's also a gold mine in the
mobile world.
Letting
on
them play. Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, because that is one thing, is that, you know, Blizzard titles have, with the exception of the Armory, have always been available on PC or Mac, but now it's going to be PC, Mac, and iPad, which is cool. So the beta sign-up is live now.
Right.
The beta will be this summer, and then the timeline, I think, that Financial Post threw out there is probably late 2013. So I don't know if that's actually confirmed by Blizzard or maybe just a rumor going around PAX, but maybe we'll hear more next week from Lou.
Oh man, late 2013 sounds so far away. I don't even want to think about it. We're just getting out of winter.
Late 2013 is like 6 months from now.
Don't say that. It's like you're just taking, it's only March, you're taking 2013 and tossing it aside for some reason. Hey, 2013 still got some good months ahead.
No, but see, we've got like, you know, a good 2 weeks left of the really amazing March releases. Not even 2 weeks. 1 week left of March releases. And then we can just smoosh all of the summer together because nothing good is coming out in the summer. And then we get our good fall releases. So just like cut that 6 months out of the year. It's fine.
You know what? It's as much as it pains me to think I want to skip June, July, and August, there really isn't a lot coming out. After March is sort of this
March, like, was huge
wallet buster, huge. And then April, okay, well, I mean, I'm a little biased because I think I'm sure Pikmin 3 will come out at some point in those months, but other than that, I'm trying to think. I mean, Saints Row 4 in August, it's not like a big tentpole game, but it's still like the only game I can think of, if that's the game
tentpole
that comes to mind.
Game?
Yeah, do you not know that term? I didn't make it up, I swear. Tentpole is a thing. Tentpole franchise. I'm going to stop saying tentpole because obviously the term is lost on you. Or you actually know what it means and I'm using it very incorrectly.
It 12-year-old Jocelyn brain is making a pitching the tent joke and it just, yeah.
It was Saints Row 4 that threw you off, I think, that probably led you to that sort of thinking, but
probably.
That's a good point. I could go for some Wind Waker HD, so let's just fast forward to fall.
Fast forward, that's all I'm saying. It's late 2013, gonna be good. Next week we're gonna have Lou on to talk all things PAX, which is gonna be fun, and then also Tuesday we have BioShock is coming out.
What? No, I know that.
I know, I'm super excited, so...
It's getting some great reviews.
It's going to be amazing. I'm super excited about it. I mean, I have all this Heart of the Swarm campaign that I'm going to have to play Sunday and Monday because it's going to have to be done before I get BioShock on Tuesday.
Do you have Tuesday off at all, or are you going to do the preload?
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh. I work Thursday, then I'm off Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
So wait, you have Tuesday off? So you're preloading... Wait, no, you switched your pre-order. Sorry. So you did pre-order from EB.
From EB, yeah.
Oh. See, I've been doing this thing. I did this with Tomb Raider And it's sort of like cascaded into this like stay up late every night now on a weekday. But with Tomb Raider came out and I preloaded it, so I was like, yeah, I'll stay up till midnight, play for an hour or so. Mind you, it's a PC game, so you have to spend like the first hour getting the settings right. I know my computer is still pretty awesome, but not as awesome enough to run newer games like on perfect. But yeah, I ended up staying up till 3 trying to play Tomb Raider. That's why I took Tuesday off. So if I did end up staying up till 3 setting up BioShock, I can still play it.
I see. That is a good strategy. So I think that pretty much does it for this week on the Gamers Inn. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com or email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous shows such as Campaign Roundtable, which is brand spanking new, Biggest Fan, and This Week in Blizz. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. And don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who created our logo and drew our Twitter avatars. I'm mixing it up this week. Not on purpose. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic online at starcrossedonline.com. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week, which, again, will be our PAX East special, and we will be recording at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, March 30th, because our regular night is a holiday. It's Easter. Mm. So, yeah. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
Okay, so you... Oh my god, theme song!
Yeah.
I totally forgot about the theme song.
Can't forget that that's key. Right there, right there.
Oh my god, it's the whole theming in my face.
Oh, well, now everyone's gonna think I'm a loser.
Yep.
Don't agree with me.
Or whatever the Skype sound is. Heart of the Swarm! I love this form! I'm very excited.